Jesus. I appreciate the presence of God, the move of God, very, very much, and thank God for His Word. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to go to the land of, not the Philippines, but Philippians, third chapter of the book of Philippians. I believe with all of my heart that this is the day and the time and the hour. It's not because I brought the message, because it's the message that's so needful from the Word of God. But I'd like to declare to you today, as I title this message, Staying Focused in a Foggy World. Staying focused in a foggy world. How many understands and know we're living in a foggy world? A lot of stuff going on, a lot of things going on, a lot of talk, a lot of chatter. We can get sidetracked and we can get distracted in so many different ways. I thought, as Chris was teaching the Sunday school lesson this morning, how applicable it was for this message. And I didn't have Nehemiah as a part of the equation of the message today, but none could be so applicable than Nehemiah was to stay focused in a world that was so foggy. He had adversaries coming at him from every aspect, both within and without, but yet he stayed focused to get the job done. We've got one thing in mind that we've got to stay focused on, and that's Jesus Christ and making heaven our home. Praise the name of the Lord. So if you have your Bibles today, turn with me to the third chapter of the book of Philippians. I want to read 4th through the 9th verse in your hearing today. Please follow along in the King James, but I'm going to read the Amplified Version to help you understand and clarify things just a little bit better. Verse number 4. Paul said, "Though for myself I have at least the grounds to rely on the flesh, if any other man consider that he has or seems to have reason to rely on the flesh and has physical and outward advantages, I have still more." And he goes on to explain. "Circumcised on the eighth day when I was 8 days old, the race of Israel," he was given his lineage, he was of the race of Israel, "the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, and the son of a Hebrew, as to observance of the law, I was of the party of the Pharisees." He was given his lineage right down the line, right where he was. Verse 6, "As to my zeal, I was a persecutor of the church," because he was a Orthodox Jew, okay? "And by the law's standard of righteousness, supposed justice, uprightness, and right standing with God, I was proven to be blameless and of no fault was found with me. But whatever former things I have that might have been gained to me, I have come to consider as one combined loss for Christ's sake." The whole sum, anything he was, anything that he could obtain, anything that he could gain, he counted it as loss. "Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possessions of the priceless privilege and the overwhelming preciousness, the surprising worth and the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, and of the progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him." Did you get that? He's saying, "In all these things, and all my heritage and all my prestige," he said, "there's nothing more important than me becoming more intimate with Jesus Christ. I want to become more deeply and intimate acquainted with Him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding Him more fully and clearly. For His sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuge, dredge, in order that I might win or that I might gain Christ, the Anointed One." Verse 9. "And that I may actually be found and known as in Him, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own, based on my own obedience in the laws to man, ritualistic uprightness, and supposed right standing with God, thus acquired, but possessing the genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the anointed one, the truly right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As most of you well know, and there's been times that you have had to drive in dense fog. And when you're driving in dense fog, you have to be very, very adamant and very aware of those things in front of you. How many knows what I'm talking about? You have to be especially attentive of the shadows or anything that is around you. I remember several years ago, we was before we even started the church, we was coming back from church at Rogers, and on 112, just this side of Heifel, it was so foggy that night you couldn't hardly see your hand in front of your face if you stuck it out the window. It was extremely foggy. And the boys, Chris and Brian, was little. One of them was in the floorboard. One of them was in the black glass of the window sleeping. How many remembers those days? And they was sleeping. We come around the corner there and started down that long straight stretch just before you get to the cemetery. And out of the middle of nowhere in that dense fog was a big black cow standing in the middle of the road. If I had not been especially tentative to my circumstance and what was going on, I would have lost my car and the cow would have lost its life. It would have been detrimental, and perhaps one of us or all of us would have lost our life because she wasn't a little thing. And there's times in our life, it's spiritually speaking, that there is cows in the road in the dense fog, and unless we're tentative and we're aware and we're watching, it could cost us our life. It's very easy today in the hour that we're living in to lose focus on the important things of life. At times it's very hard to keep and maintain the main thing positive. At times it's hard to keep the main thing the main thing. I've noticed people struggling at times to stay focused during a conversation. How many knows what I'm talking about? You talk to somebody and they're really not looking you in the eye and they're looking straight past you and you can tell that their lights are on but they ain't nobody home. I've noticed people that they struggle. I struggle at times to stay focused during a conversation. Some of you could probably say amen. I understand that. It seems extremely hard for kids to stay focused on their study or their chores today. Sister Diane's niece teaches college algebra and trigonometry and all that stuff, and she has taught that for several years. And the main people of the school, the superintendents and stuff, don't want the kids to have earbuds or phones or radio or listening to their CD or whatever it is. CDs, boy, I'm ancient, aren't I? Their phones or their iPads. But she said that's the only way I can get my kids to focus, is let them be listening to something on their phone so they can concentrate on what they're doing. Sometimes in a generation, in an hour in which we are living in, it's vitally important that whatever we have to do to stay focused, we need to stay focused. And the main thing that we need to stay focused on is the main thing, and His name is Jesus Christ. Workers can easily become distracted on their jobs if they don't stay focused. For 16, 17, 18 years, I was a meat cutter by trade. I worked with bandsaws, I worked with slicers, I worked with grinders, and fortunately I tried to stay focused, and I've still got all 8 fingers and 2 thumbs, but there's some guys I worked with that when they quit the meat department, they was absent a finger or a thumb or two. I never forget this one guy. I thought he knew everything, and hadn't been there very long, and you couldn't really tell him anything. Sound familiar in our world? I think I need to repeat that one.
I got these glasses on. I really can't see your reaction, so I'm just going to repeat it anyway. I thought I seen someone shake their head. Go ahead and repeat it. You couldn't tell him nothing. He already thought he knew everything, and he got on the bandsaw, and he was just going crazy, thought he could outdo anybody and anything, and he got his finger in the saw and liked to ripped it plumb off. Our boss took him, cleaned it out, wrapped it all up. He was one of those tough macho guys, got back on the saw and cut the bandage off the first whack. I thought, now that's intelligence. To stay focused is imperative for your life. To stay focused is imperative for your spiritual life. How many knows to stay focused on our roads today is absolutely imperative? There's some crazy people out there that still got a driver's license that's driving. People can be... That's why it's so important that they've passed a law now that it's a very stiff fine if you're on your cell phone or you're texting while you're driving. You know why? Because they say that is a distraction. Hey, that'll preach right there. Because we are in a society and in a world today in the spiritual realm to where if we're not careful, we'll become distracted and the enemy will blindside us and we'll find ourselves by the side of the road wondering what the world is going on. But I want you to know today, church, with everything that is within me, I'm reaching out to you in love and telling you, you cannot become distracted. You're going to have to stay focused in a world in which it is so foggy. I'm talking spiritually now. You're going to have to stay focused. I'm here to tell you, the devil wants to deplete your energy. He wants to deplete your strength. He wants you to get off focus from God. But there comes a time in your life, you're going to have to grab a hold of your shoe latches and pull yourself up and say, the God that I serve is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm not going to allow the devil to beat me down because I'm going up. I'm looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. It's easy to become distracted. It's easy to become, well, I just can't help it. Yes, you can. It is a choice. The devil is a liar and God is bigger. If you allow the devil to get a hold of you and depress you and discourage you, you're saying, God's not big enough to take care of this, so I'm just going to succumb to the devil and see what happens. If I get run over, I get run over. You don't have to get run over. It's when we get distracted. We got to get our eyes on Jesus. It is with our spiritual walk we can lose focus with our main goal and become sidetracked with the things of our life that causes us to lose focus. Some of this is going to be a little ouchy right now, but I want to stress to you that we've got to keep the main thing the main thing. We can allow our job. We can allow our kids. We can allow our families. We can allow our activities. We can allow our duties. We can allow the Super Bowl to complex the other things in our life to cause us to lose focus on our goal with Christ and our eternal destination. There is nothing wrong with our family. There's nothing wrong with paying attention to our kids. There's nothing wrong with having activities. There's nothing wrong with the Super Bowl unless you put it in place of God. I'm just going to tell it like it is. At the end of this day, the Super Bowl, there's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser. Hello? There's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser. But over 2,000 years ago, what looked like was a loser became a winner that you and I might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And if we try to substitute anything in its place, we're allowing it to become our God and we're putting it above the cost that Jesus Christ paid. And it's quiet today. I'm going to take a drink just because of that. I know in whom I believe and whom I trust. Amen. If I'm an old fuddy-duddy, just let me die an old fuddy-duddy. Okay? I want to see Jesus more than anything else. I want to make Him the main thing. We can allow a multiple of things to complex our lives and cause us to lose focus and on our goal, which is Christ and eternal destination. Understand that most of those things that I just mentioned are totally fine when they're put in the right perspective and when they're put in the right priority. When we get them out of order, it's when the fog creeps in and we're no longer able to see clearly. And so my question is today, are we doing right things while we're doing things right? Oh, we're doing right things while we're doing things right. In the 8th and 9th verse of our text, Paul put it in perspective when he said, "If now disregard everything that I once counted important, I now," he put it in perspective, I now renounce everything that I once counted important. I did not prepare this message because of Super Bowl. I promise you. As a matter of fact, this week that's been the last thing on my mind. Paul put it in perspective. Those things that I thought was important one time, I disregard those things, realizing that they are worth no more than garbage. Realizing that nothing is more important than Jesus Christ. I'm not only willing, but will be much better off by giving up and willing to lose everything so that I might gain in complete intimacy with Jesus Christ. Are we willing to give up? What are we willing to give up to make sure that Jesus Christ is everything? I really am feeling more and more compelled that next year that we fast TV through the first 21 days of February. Thank you, honey, for laughing. Nobody else did, but good stuff. What are we willing to give up? What are we willing to lose to make sure that everything and our intimacy with Jesus Christ is gained and we have completeness? I want to tell you all through the Scriptures, and again, what Chris taught on this morning with Nehemiah is a perfect example of staying focused in a world where he was bombarded with those inside his belief, outside his belief, that they ridiculed him, but he stayed focused in the midst of all adversity, when it looked like that nobody was going to help, when it looked like that nobody was going to cooperate with him, when it looked like that the wall around about him had been torn down so completely there's no way it could be fixed, but he stayed focused, and he got enough men and women to stay focused with him that some of them had a trial in one hand and a weapon in the other hand. You know why? Because they was determined and they was focused on a job that had to be done. I'm here to tell you, church, there is nothing more important with your eternal soul than to make sure that it is secured for eternity. There's nothing more important than your intimacy and your relationship with Jesus Christ. There's nothing in this world more important than when you have a relationship with Him and lay your head on your pillow. And though you take that last breath, you know that your spirit man is going to soar to be with Him. There's nothing in this life that's more important. And there's things that we have to do here to make sure that it's done. We've got to make sure we stay focused in the fog. Abraham, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, verses 8 through 10, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to another place where he should receive after an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. In the fog, there's times in the natural in life, and you're driving down the road, you lose track of even where you are. You know where you're supposed to be, but you're not sure because the fog is so dense. That's exactly where Abraham was. He did not know where he was going, but he so journeyed because he had faith in God, in a promised land, as a stranger in a country, dwelling dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs, with him, with that same promise. And he had a vision that was clear in verse number 10. For he looked for a city who hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. He stayed focused in the midst of a world of fog. He stayed focused. Genesis chapter 37, there was another young man by the name of Joseph that stayed focused on a dream that he had. In our world in which we live in, there's a lot of dream killers in our world. People that we think that is on our side and beside us. We think they're there, and when we realize that they're not there, we feel like perhaps sometime our dream is dead. Sister Tammy gave a great analogy in Sunday school class this morning. And those of you that's missing Sunday school, you're missing a treat. Food-wise and lesson-wise. It's so good when God begins to open doors and open eyes and clearing the fog. But it is so true that in our world today we have those that want to kill our dream. But I'm here to tell you today, especially those of you that are in the ER class, the devil would like to kill your dream. The devil would like to take away your vision. The devil would like to destroy what God has already done in your life. But I'm here to tell you today that the God that I serve is not only able to keep you, He's able to sustain you. He's able to give you strength that you might fight the good fight of faith. You've got a dream in your heart. That dream is, I'm going to make it through this. Some days it don't look like you're going to make it through, but I'm here to tell you that God's give you a dream, and that dream is a reality paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Will somebody preach with me today? I'm here to tell you that there's a dream inside of you, and that dream inside of you the devil wants to kill. But Jesus came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. He paid the price. He paid the price. It's a dream, and Joseph had a dream. That dream was, his brothers tried to kill that dream. He told his brothers, Joseph had a dream in verse 5 of chapter 37. And his brothers hated him, and he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, the dream which I have dreamed. For behold, he seen blind sheaves in the field, and they paid homage to him." And I'm reading past part of it because I don't have time this morning. But in verse number 8, and his brothers said, "Thou shalt indeed reign over us, so shalt thou indeed have dominion over us." And they hated him yet the more for his dream and for his word. In verse number 9, he had another dream, and he told his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun, the moon, and the stars, they bowed down to me and paid homage." And he told it to his father and to his brother, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? What are you talking about, son? You had way too many lentils last night." "Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed bow down ourselves to the earth?" He had a dream. It wasn't just any dream. And his brothers envied him. But his father observed the same. I just come by to tell you today that Joseph had a dream. Martin Luther King had a dream. Regardless of how you feel about that, is in totally immaterial today. He had a dream. You should have a dream. Joseph had a dream. And if we go through the life of Joseph, we find that he endured hardships. He endured the prison. He was lied about. He was alienated by his brothers. His daddy thought he was dead. But he still stayed focused on a dream. He had an opportunity for one of those in the jail to get him out, and he forgot him. But still, through all of that, he had a dream, and he stayed focused on that dream. Look at your neighbor and touch him on the arm and say, "You got to stay focused. You got to stay focused." Joseph could have threw in the towel, and if it had been most of us, we wouldn't have made it past the ditch or the hole in the ground that our brothers threw us in. We wouldn't have made it. But he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He was falsely accused by those around about him and lied about. I'm here to tell you today, church, you got to stay on your dream. You got to stay focused. God has allowed you to have a dream through His Son Jesus Christ, that this world's not our home, we're just a passing through. God, through His Son Jesus Christ, has allowed you to have a dream that we have been made heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and now we are a child of God, a daughter and a son of God. God has given us the ability to have a dream through His Son Jesus Christ, because we was reconnected with Him, not by blood of bulls and goats, by the blood of Jesus Christ that so freely paid down Calvary. God made it available for us to have a dream, and a dream to be healed and made whole in the name of Jesus. By His stripes we are made whole. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have a dream, but we must stay focused. Moses had to stay focused in the midst of ridicule, in the midst of being overwhelmed, in the midst of the most grippiest people in the whole wide world up until this day and age. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions of God's people than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. There is times in this life it has its treasures and it have its fun, but it is nothing to compare to what God has for His people. For He had recompense, for He had respect for the recompense of the reward. By faith, He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Did you get that? Not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Brother Aaron, he stayed focused. He stayed focused. There's things in your life that seem so overwhelming, but the man that is invisible has never left your side. He's the same God that took the nuts off of the of the Egyptians. He's the same God that inserted His life to the three Hebrew children that was in the fiery furnace. He's the same God that walked the lion's den and shut the lion's mouth and put them on a complete Daniel fast. Moses turned his back on his adopted family that could give him anything and everything earthly so that he might focus on the plan of God that would give him everything eternally. Whoo! Talk about a place to shout. He turned his back on people that could give him everything that he ever could have imagined earthly, to focus on a God that could give him everything he ever dreamed of eternal. My, my, my. Stephen, Acts chapter 6, verse number 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. In Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 56, and he, being filled with the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into the heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus stand at the right hand of God. Do you think he wasn't staying focused? This was while stones was being hurled at him, hitting him upside the head, breaking his rib bones in his chest. He was staying focused, full of the Holy Ghost, looking up steadfast in the heaven and saw the glory of God and standing right hand of the Father. I wonder today just how many would take the ridicule of this world and leave the possessions of eternity just for the gratitude of a pat on the back today. I wonder being full of glory, he looked them to the heavens and saw the glory of God, Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the throne of God." Stephen preached an unpopular message to the Jews that was unwilling to listen because they was in a foggy world. But he opened up the doors of the fog and all he could see was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He proclaimed a message as he stayed focused, proclaiming Jesus Christ, becoming a martyr, seeing what others could not see that brought him into heaven's gates. Paul, here in Philippians chapter 3, 13 through 15, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." I want you to note this. If you write in your Bible, underline this. But this one thing I do. Look at your neighbor and say, "But this one thing I do." But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I'm going to stay focused. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark. Verse 15, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it, even this unto you." We've got to stay focused, church. So many things that are allowed to come into our lives. Sometimes we invite them and sometimes they just overwhelm us. But I just come by to let you know today, we've got to stay focused on the main thing. And His name is Jesus. Paul again put it this way, "But this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind and I reach forward to those things which are above." Elisha was a man that had a servant that was walking around in the fog. Will you stay with me just a few more minutes? Some of you's done checked out. I can feel it. Can't see you, but I can feel it. Elijah had a servant that was a good servant, but he was in the fog. And he could not see. In 2 Kings chapter 6, he answered, "Fear not, for they," Elisha speaking, "for they that are with us are more than is within them." But his servant saying, "Man, I don't see it." You ever been around somebody and you tried to explain something to them and they have that hollow look in their eyes and say, I just don't see it. That's exactly where Elijah's servant was. I don't see it, Elijah. And he said, "God, will you open his eyes so he can see?" That's where we're at today in the circumstances of our life. We need to pray, "God, would you just open our eyes so that we can see? Just open our eyes so we can see." And Elijah prayed that prayer, and God opened his servant's eyes, and he looked around, and there was horsemen up in the mountains. That there was a lot more for them than there was against them. And I'm here to tell you today, in the circumstances of your life, you got more for you than you got against you. But there's times you're going to have to suck it up. Just being a little tough here. Tough love as a father, sometimes you've got to just suck it up and let the devil know you're not going to crumble under his attack. Oh, come on, church. I'm not crumbling under your attack, Satan. Because greater is he that's within me than he that is in the world. Elijah had to request a revelation for his servant so that he may have the ability to see what others could not see. And that's exactly where we are. We need to be able to see what others cannot see and to believe on the one who can, so that his focus was made clear on the one who was able. That's the whole spectrum. We know we're not able, but let our eyes be opened and focused on the one who is able. Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 7 says to set our eyes like a flint. Setting our face like a flint. Setting our eyes straight ahead, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But setting our face like a flint implies that you're expecting some opposition. Somebody needs to circle Isaiah chapter 50 and number 7, verse 7. Chapter 50, verse 7, setting our eyes and setting our face like a flint implies that we are expecting some opposition, that we will face strong opposition, and we're going to face it head on. But it means that we regard these differences, difficulties, and we regard that it is worthwhile for you to consider what you will be led to, understanding and looking to Jesus, staying focused on the promises of God. God, that heavenly city that is prepared for you. I'm staying focused. I'm almost through. Chris, go ahead. You can come to the piano. But focus on what I'm going to say for the next 2 or 3 minutes, would you? Okay. Jesus told Martha, there's only one thing that is necessary. In Luke chapter 10, verse 42, Jesus tells Martha, He knew that there was so much to do, and all these things need to be taken care of, but Mary had chosen the good part, and that was to stay focused on Jesus. Mary, I know you're busy. Or excuse me, Martha, I know you're busy. It's easy sometimes to get the two M's messed up. Jesus said, Martha, I know you're busy. But don't gripe about your sister that's kept the good part in focus. Martha, I really know you want to see the Super Bowl today, but it's Mary that's going to get the blessing because she chose the good part. I might as well just go ahead and kill it. In the NIV, it says this concerning Martha. Verse number 40 of chapter 10 of Luke. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations. Whoa. All the preparations that she had made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me? Hey, wait a minute, let me get a napkin here. I got to wipe my eyes. She's tore me up. She's left me to do all the work by myself. Would you please tell her to come and help me? Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better. And it will not be taken away from her. Mary was distracted. She lost focus. All those things needed to be done, but that wasn't the important thing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, the elders had to stay focused, though these went through the fire of suffering, tribulation, testing, hardships, and even death. They stayed focused on a city whose builder and maker was God, a heavenly country. This is what 13th verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews says, that these all died by faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, King James, and were persuaded and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that said such things declared plainly that they seek a country. They stayed focused. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've stayed focused. I've finished my race. I've kept the faith. Now there's in store for me a crown of righteousness, not to me only, but those that stay focused. Somebody say, stay focused. Surely you can beat that. Somebody say, stay focused. Stay focused. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Stand focused. Church, for the third time, I'm closing. We must keep our focus sharp. So I ask you today, what does it take to regain our focus that would require for us to become a true follower of Jesus Christ in a day and a time when the view is overtaken by the evil fog that has so obscured our vision and we have lost focus from so many that one time run well? We must keep our focus sharp. Would you stand with me across the congregation today? Heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment. I wonder, real quickly, is there someone here today that you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, but you'd like to know Him like Paul did, like Elijah did, like Moses did? He's the same God. You'd slip up your hand and say, "Pastor, I want to know Him. I want to have that relationship with Him. I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Is there one? Not seeing any hands raised. How many that is born again, have the blood applied to your heart, would say, "Pastor, I really want that intimacy with Him. I want to stay focused on Him." How many would raise your hands? Say, "Pastor, I want that relationship." Just raise up your other hand right now and say, "Lord, will You open my eyes that I might see? Let my focus become clear. Let my eyes be wide open. Let me see You in all Your power and all Your glory, knowing that You are a great physician, You're our healer, You're our redeemer. Help me, oh God, to stay focused and keep my focus clear." Father God, we ask You to bless Your people, encourage and strengthen them. Lord, have Your will and have Your way in our hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray, God, that You'll take the shackles off of our eyes. Lord, I pray that You'll remove the blur. Help us, oh God, to stay focused clearly on You. Lord, I love You. I appreciate You. I thank You, Almighty God. May God richly bless you today. I felt deep in my spirit that several, if not all of us, need this message today. Again, it's not because I preached, it's because it's God's Word. And we're losing focus in our world today. I can't make you. I can deliver the message, but I can tell you it's your responsibility to get a hold of God to stay focused. And I encourage you today with everything that's within you, stay focused. Stay focused. Stay focused on the main thing. His name is Jesus. Heavenly Father, bless Your people. Keep us safe, sheltered under the blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the name of Jesus.